Praise the Lord. Yes, I am thankful that we're here tonight. Amen. So thankful that we have the Lord. That is a wonderful thing. You know, I was just thinking, you know, Monday I did have to call my 24/7 people because I realized my furnace wasn't working. It was newly installed, but it just, you know, it wasn't turning on. And so, you know, thank God they did come, but they discovered that it was wired wrongly at the factory, of all things. But anyway, praise the Lord, they did get it fixed. But, you know, just thinking back and looking at my basement as it now is, with a lot of water in the basement, I am so thankful for the Lord's timing. Because, wow, you know, I don't know how they could have done work with that kind of water in the basement. And how the Lord, you know, just does all things right. How he, you know, had me to, you know, turn it on and just investigate and you know, the realization. I had Samuel just check it too, because I'm thinking, I don't know why this new furnace isn't coming on. But praise the Lord, our God is so good. And I thank him. He's got his reasons. He's got his whys and whatever all, God knows. But I'm so thankful that we can turn all things over to him. It is so true that we do need Jesus, right? Oh, yes, so right, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and thank the Lord for his goodness. Ask him to have his way in the service. Praise the Lord. Let's go before him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, God. And oh, Lord, that you make a way. Oh God, even when it seems that there is no way. Oh God, we just thank you that we can keep our minds upon thee and that we can turn to thee. Oh Lord, regardless of the situation, Lord, thou art near. And thou art that present help. Oh Lord, you know how to prompt us and how to help us and how to get us ready, how to talk to our hearts. Oh God, you know how to provide for all of our needs, Lord. And oh God, how to keep us in the way everlasting. God, I pray that you'd be with us here tonight. I pray that you'd talk to us. I pray, oh God, that you would help us, oh Lord, to grow in thee. Oh God, to glean what we need to glean from the pages of thy word tonight, Lord. Oh God, let your word have a free course, Lord. Oh God, that you would direct it. Oh God, that you would use it, God. Oh God, that it would do what, oh God, you've... Oh, God ordered it to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, we just give all of this to you. Oh, God, we ask that you would have your way. Oh, God, we know that we need your help. We cannot do it without you, Lord. We ask, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, you'd move in a mighty way. Give us those things that we have need of. Direct us in the way everlasting, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I have a feeling this mic isn't on. Is it going to be okay?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Sir, We Would See Jesus. And, oh, I don't know, a few days ago, this verse just started coming to me, and I guess, wow, it just kept on and still there today. So praise the Lord. The Lord helped me to put this together with his help. We'll see how the Lord directs it, because, oh my, it very often isn't the way I anticipate anyway. But, oh my, yes, sir, we would see Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to John, the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord and see what the Lord will show us here. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. It was very exciting to see Brianna baptized this last Monday. And, you know, her mother came too to witness it, which was, you know, pretty amazing. I know she needs a lot of prayer. She's a junior in high school, and her mother is a pagan. And, you know, I don't know. I think the boyfriend's an atheist. And, you know, such circumstances. But yet, you know, we see that the Lord is able to call us out of any kind of condition. And you can't just say, because, oh my, I was raised in the church, you know, I'm going to be a Christian. That's not the way it goes either, because it's an individual thing with each and every one of us. But praise the Lord, I love it when the Lord pulls out of the fire somebody that you would never have thought would be able to see the way. But God is so mighty, He is so good, and there is nothing too hard for Him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's go here to John, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start with verse 20 here. John chapter 12, verse 20. Praise the Lord. Sir, we would see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 20 begins by saying, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, it must have been just a little bit of a dilemma for them, because I understand that, you know, these were Greeks, and I'm going to guess that this was not something that happened all the time. And you know, Jesus had come, you know, into the world to reach his Jewish people at that point, those under the first covenant. But oh my, of course, the gospel was going to reach out way beyond that. But you know, at this time, the Greeks weren't commonly included. But here, you know, we have an occasion. It was, you know, just before the feast time, and all of the things that were coming forth at this point. Here among those that come to worship at Jerusalem come some Greeks. And my, I don't know what they had heard, but oh my, they must have heard something about the goings-on there in Judea and Jerusalem and all. And it, somehow it seems like it was in their heart that they wanted to see Jesus. So here the situation is that they come and they inquire, one of the apostles, Philip, and he was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and they tell him, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, it tells us in verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So, whatever all, there's a bit of, you know, asking, I suppose, what should we do? How do we do this? Or whatever all. But anyway, the message does come to Jesus. And it tells us, this is how he answers in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Okay, this wasn't probably what would be expected to such an inquiry, but obviously it was very close to the time that Jesus would be delivered to the Gentiles. He would be brought before Pilate. He would be judged. He would be accused of the Jews and brought forth. And we know, yes, obviously the crucifixion was at hand. And, you know, it was something that Jesus was very, very keenly aware of at this point. And, you know, of course, as it goes on in this chapter, verse 27 says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Oh my, so praise the Lord. We can see that, you know, the moments that were quickly to follow were heavily upon Jesus' mind at this point. And you know, he was human. He was God who'd come to this world, but he was in a fleshly form and he was bearing the sins of the people, which was an extremely huge assignment. And of course, it was really something even for the Son of God to anticipate and to realize that this hour was just upon him, just about. But what a thing this was here, as, you know, another witness came forth to again verify that Jesus was indeed the Christ. And I don't know those Greeks, if they were standing by. I don't know, you know. A lot of the people just thought this was strange. They didn't get it at all. And they just thought it thundered or, you know, this was just a noise of some sort. And they didn't get the significance of this very, very special moment. But I have a feeling if these Greeks that came and inquired, if they were standing there, and it was a great desire of their heart to see Jesus and to be a witness that the Lord was using this to help them, to help them to see and understand who he was. And of course, you know, it all was as a witness. And so individuals would realize, hey, you know, this is, you know, signifying that I came into the world to give my life, that I am the Son of God, that I am the Christ, I am the Messiah. And you know, it was, you know, a very significant thing there that, you know, this witness came forth at such a moment. But so many people didn't get it, you know, just, you know, they said it thundered, and others said, well, it must be an angel that is speaking to him. But, oh my, it was for their sakes, the people that stood by, that, oh, this voice came forth, God Almighty verifying that he was glorifying the Son of Man, that he was glorifying the Lord Jesus, and yes, all of this was in the process of that glorification that would come forth. Oh, yes, and that moment and all these things that were pending at this point. But, you know, in his answer here, Jesus said some very deep things, I would say. And, you know, obviously, you know, the first thing that's out of his mouth in verse 23, the hour is come. It was right there upon him that the Son of Man should be glorified. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to be lifted up on the cross and he was going to give his life, but God was going to use it. He was going to, in doing such a thing, be bringing many sons and daughters unto himself. He would be drawing those, oh yes, that would call upon him unto his very self. Praise the Lord, his people that would follow you and I. Oh yes, we who have obeyed the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he said also in verse 24, some very deep things, I would say. And again, we have some verilies here to verify that this is of a truth. This is, you know, this is a text saying and something that, you know, was, you know, he was really emphasizing. So he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And you know, if we just think, you know, any little seed, you know, we can have a package of seeds. You know, we can, you know, have it for years and years even. And you know, those seeds will remain dormant as long as they're not planted in the earth. or put in water. And you know, he's using this to illustrate, you know, the necessity of us as individuals as giving our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, that grain, that seed is just, you know, it's just going to be a seed until somebody puts it into the earth or even in water. And all at once, it's like, you know, it just all crumples up and it dies. It crumbles. But what comes forth from it? Why? It germinates, doesn't it? And it, you know, you can see the little sprout, if you would be watching, come forth out of that seed that died. Life is coming from that seed that seemed dead. And of course, he's using this to illustrate all the wonderful fact that we are dead in our sins and in our trespasses before we know the living God. We're, you know, in this world without hope and without, you know, a connection to the Lord Jesus, to the Creator. And oh, what a predicament it is. But what a wonder it is. Oh, yes. If we die to ourselves, if we die to our old man, our old nature, if we repent of our sins and give our lives over to the Lord, if we surrender our will to the living God, he takes our life. Oh, we die out to sin. We die out to self. But praise the Lord, we give it to the Lord Jesus. And oh, yes, he takes our life. And it's just like that seed. Oh, that was so dead. But oh, yes, we put it in the earth. And oh, yes, the seed crumbles. The seed, let's go. But oh, wow, what comes forth from it? Life. And praise the Lord. In this sense, eternal life comes forth. Oh, yes, because the Lord puts it within our being when we turn our life over to the Lord, when we die of our sins, when we repent, turn it over to the Lord Jesus and obey the command to be baptized in his name. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And yes, he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, when we completely surrender our lives over to the Lord and praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that is the way that we can bring forth fruit. Because we've let the old man go. You know, we've given it over to the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, he's going to take our life and reformat it, make it all over anew again, and bring forth everlasting life. Oh, yes. And break forth fruit. Oh, yes, so the world can see, oh, there's been a great change in me. You know, the Lord has taken me such as I was, my old man, and he's regenerated me. He's given me life everlasting. He's given me hope that I never had. Praise the Lord. And therefore, we are able to bring forth much fruit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He went on to say, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And here, of course, he's talking about, you know, when you are in that condition that, you know, you're hanging on to the things of this world, the things that will perish, the things that appeal to the flesh. If that is your state, if that is your loves, oh, we are told not to love the world. You know, those things are all going to vanish away. They're all going to perish. And if we stay in that condition where, you know, where whole life is anchored in the natural man, in the world of sin, in the things of the flesh, then we're going to lose it. That new life, that everlasting life can't spring forth if we haven't given it over to the Lord Jesus. If we haven't denied ourselves and taken up our cross and followed the Lord Jesus, then he can't work in us. But he went on to say, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Praise the Lord. And that means that, you know, we let the old man go and the ways of the flesh. You know, we turn our life over to the Savior. We're no longer going to be serving the old man. Oh, yes, the ways of the flesh. And everything is going to change if we truly give it over to the Lord Jesus. We truly surrender our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions all over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, I think it's such a beautiful thing that we can make these changes in our lives. So many people hang on to the things of this life and they strive for worldly gain, one way or the other, just, you know, prestige, fame, you know, money, you know, to buy things, to have things, oh my, to achieve goals, you know, maybe it's an education, maybe it's degrees, maybe it's, you know, that big house out there on the lake or whatever all, or, you know, some fancy car, or God knows, all those things that people strive for. But all those are just works of the flesh. You know, they might, you know, make a show of things for the present, you know. I mean, people might look at it and think, wow, that's pretty neat, you know. He's got that big, beautiful house down there by the lake. And, you know, he must have made it really good, you know, to be able to do that. And, you know, my, he has, you know, that boat besides and, you know, that car, that truck and God knows what all, you know, and all of those things. But, oh my, that's just for a moment. All those things are going to perish. All of those things will vanish. And you know, they're just, you know, kind of, you know, filling, you know, to, well, I don't know, try to satisfy the flesh. Those things that people look for in the natural sense. But there's no future in that. There's no everlasting life in that. You know, I was just thinking, you know how it was. I know Pastor David was, you know, he had a lot of skills as a locksmith. And, you know, when he worked for the University of Wisconsin there in Oshkosh, he won some awards for some of his achievements. For some of his inventions, he actually saved that university a lot of money by some of his inventions, really. But anyway, he was offered some jobs that would have been far more lucrative than what he was making there at the university. I recall one position he was offered, one of the lock companies, I think it was Sargent, was going to be opening up a company in the Chicago area, and they had asked, you know, Pastor if he would like to come and join them. They were, you know, he's going to be vice president or some high-ranking person there in their company. And, you know, just a really enticing offer in a lot of senses. But you know what? There's no way he could consider it. Because, you know, Pastor had other goals. And, you know, his heart was not really in the work there at the university. His heart was in the work of the Lord. And you know, in spite of things that might have entreated him or, you know, offered him some kind of worldly compensation beyond what he knew, there was no way that he could go that route. Because he was serving the Lord Jesus. And oh, there was a goal that, you know, he was set to obtain. That was eternal life. Oh, yes, to bring forth fruit. Yes, to see a people that would come into the fold and serve the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know, it's so true. There is a need. He that loveth his life shall lose it. If you just go for the things that appeal to the flesh, if those are the things that you are striving for, then it's going to be just for a moment. And besides, all those things can change, you know, in a minute anyway. Everything is so fleeting in this world. Oh, people come, people go, companies come, you know, and you know, down the road they're no longer in existence. What's, you know, going well now may, you know, be completely obsolete 2 years from now or even less time than that. But praise the Lord, we can invest in eternity. Oh yes, the Lord gives us opportunity to serve Him and to bring our life forward so that, oh, we can serve the Lord. Oh yes, to take up our cross. And boy, in that ninth chapter of the book of Luke, you know, Jesus told that need. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh yes, because yes, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But praise the Lord, you know, whoever shall lose his life shall save it. You know, it's just, you know, the way you're looking at it. The goal that you have in your heart. Oh, that's what this is all about. Serving the Lord Jesus and turning everything over to Him. Praise the Lord. For as it tells us here, Luke the 9th chapter, let me just read it here. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. You know, everything is just upside down, contrary to the way people normally think. We give things over to the Lord. And you know, we may not, you know, in following the Lord, you know, choose to, you know, do that secular job. If the Lord calls us to His higher calling, you know, I remember that, you know, Brother Coote's story there, missionary to Japan, who did so many outstanding things for the Lord. You know, there came a time, you know, when he began to realize here he'd come to Japan as a businessman, and he was very successful. They had given him, you know, a good pay rate and everything else. But as he took up that cross and began to follow the Lord, because he didn't know the Lord at the first, but God began to make himself known unto Brother Coote, and oh, he began to see things that he never would have ever seen before. And he began to read the Word of God and began to realize that, wow, these are the words of eternal life. How God talked to him. And there came that time when he realized that, oh yes, everything that he did, he wanted to do for the cause of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And sure enough, there came that moment when he realized, no job. I'm going to give it all over to the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord and let Him lead me. Let Him use me. Let Him, oh yes, do whatever He wants to do with me. And praise the Lord. This Brother Coote was one man that lived by faith. You know, he didn't have that secular job after that time. And yet he relied totally on the Lord to bring in the funds that was needed. And, you know, his family and then his own personal needs and then the churches that he established. And he established Bible colleges and more than one. And it all was because he was a man of faith. But there was that moment when, oh yes, you came to that point, what am I going to do? It was like a crossroad. And, you know, I could continue in my job and kind of work part-time, you know, for the Lord and, you know, do as much good as I can. But, you know, it came to him that, oh yes, he wanted to put his old ventures into the kingdom of God and do whatever he could for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It tells us here in Luke the 9th chapter, verse 25, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Oh, yes, in Matthew it says, for what is a man profited if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, yes, so here, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Oh, God forbid that we'd be cast away into that outer darkness. Oh, that we would lose our salvation, our walk with the Lord. Oh, my, there's nothing that we ever want to lose by any means. And he says in verse 26 here, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Oh, that moment is coming. Oh, yes. It will be so worth it to have followed the Lord Jesus. But what the Lord has asked, he's asked that we would take up our cross and follow him. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 37, it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he's not saying to, you know, hate your children or hate your parents by any means. But he's saying there is a need to put the Lord first above everything else. And then he said, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And here again, this point that, oh yes, it seems that he's emphasizing so strongly in these verses, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh my, yes, there is no advantage, oh, spiritually at all, if you would gain the whole world and lose your own soul. There is nothing that a man can give, oh, yes, that would be worth losing your soul. There is nothing that you could give in exchange for your soul. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus was emphasizing the simple need that we would just trust in him to provide for us and not to take thought for our raiment, all that worry, you know, what am I going to wear? Or what am I going to eat? You know, or how is it all going to come to pass? Oh, he's telling us in these verses here that we don't have to, you know, have those worries like so many people do. I know we all need raiment. We all need food. And, you know, we all need provisions. But what he is teaching here, he said, our Heavenly Father knows those things that we have need of. And he's able to provide for us. Here in verse 31, here in Matthew 6, it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And here when he says Gentiles, he's talking about the people that were without at that point, you know, that were not included in, you know, the first covenant people there, considered the outsiders, those that would be, you know, the sinners, in other words, those that knew not God, he's saying here. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But then, verse 33 here, this is something we have to take to heart here. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that we can cast our burdens upon the Lord and know that He is able to sustain us. He's able to provide for us. He's able to keep us. And, you know, I'm looking back and years ago and we had very, very little money as a family. And, you know, they say, you know, in order to raise children, you've got to have so many thousands of dollars. But you know, it was such a marvel because I hardly went to the I didn't have to go to the grocery store too often because I think Pastor generally went for me. But I didn't have to go buying clothes just too often because people would give us things, nice things, and you know, it just seemed like, you know, we had plenty, or otherwise I did sew some garments that were needed, and you know, I make little jumpers for my girls, and when they got a little bit short, I just add a ruffle and all that sort of thing and kind of keep them going for a long time. But you know, the Lord provided. And, you know, I look back and I just marvel, you know, how the Lord put it within us. He gave us faith. You know, when we came to Beaver Dam, honestly, we really had no money. and it was in our hearts to go find a house. And again, I think some of you know that story, how God answered that and gave us a house. And you know, it was amazing. We needed only $200 down on that house. It had been repossessed, and you know, somehow, you know, we were able to acquire it. And again, that's quite a story because they weren't going to let us have it easily either. We had to kind of fight for it. We did fight for it, but you know, the Lord worked it out. Yeah, they said it was a HUD program that we qualified for. And, you know, even then, you know, even though it was for people with low incomes, they said our income was too low and they weren't going to give us the house. But you know what? They kept on drawing our name. And that third time, you know, they drew our name. And, you know, the fella, the man who was in charge of that program, he said, I don't care what their income is, they're going to get the house. Praise the Lord, that was God. God, you know, knew our need, and God dictated His desire, you know. He posted upon that man so that, you know, regardless of circumstances, we were going to get that house. Amen. And we used that house. I still live in that house. Praise the Lord. And you know, we had church in that house that first year. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, people did come to the Lord. We baptized people. We had a cow take down in the basement. We baptized people in the name of the Lord Jesus. And oh yes, we saw people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, we had some marvelous times. And God healed people. Yes, one man who had epilepsy was gloriously healed. Praise the Lord. God delivered he and his wife from chain smoking and everything else that they were under bondage. But God knows how to do it. But see, there is a need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh yes, and we could just do that. If we could just take up our cross and follow God. Let Him lead. Let Him direct. Put all things under His feet, so to speak. Submit everything to the Lord. And that's what it means to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It isn't always the most simple of things to follow the Lord. We often have to fight in order to gain the victory. Oh yes, we have to fight for our faith. It isn't an automatic thing. We had to fight for that house. Praise the Lord. I remember just on my knees praying and saying, Lord, we need this house. We're going to use it for you, Lord. We need this house. And ask that, Lord, you would work this out. Oh, praise the Lord. God did. Amen. God knows how to do exceedingly, abundantly above those things which we ask or think. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't know if that man followed through, if that certain scribe followed through with his thought there, but Jesus is saying, it's not going to necessarily be easy. It's not going to be convenient to follow me. You know, I go where I need to go. And at times, of course I'm paraphrasing, at times I don't have a place to lay my head. He's telling this man that. And another of his disciples, in verse 21, said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. You know, I believe Jesus was saying, now is the appointed time. Now there is a need. If you wait for things to be set just exactly right, it may never happen. You know, if he's waiting, you know, for his father to depart this world, God knows, maybe it would be 10 years down the road. And yet he's just still waiting, doing nothing. Oh no, there's a need to occupy while we can and go forth and do the Lord's will while we can. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we want to put him first, and we do want to take up that cross and follow the Lord, even though it might not seem to be to advantage at times. But praise the Lord, when we look at what is ahead and the promises of God, and know that regardless of how it might seem, as we reason things out, God knows how to go before us and do things that we could never do otherwise. Oh my, he will take us on an adventure that we could have never have known unless we really turn it over to him and take up our cross and follow the Lord. Oh, he's so able to help us. He's so able to meet our needs. But oh yes, there's got to be a willingness on our part to surrender our hearts and to give it all over to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to go over to John, the 6th chapter right now, and there's some aspects I want to bring out here with this chapter here. In John, the 6th chapter, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the miraculous feeding. And of course, you know, we know this story. I believe it's in all the Gospels, actually. And there, as Jesus was ministering to the people, they had come unto him. And Jesus had actually, you know, I seem like he's trying to get away at that moment, but the crowds would follow him. Oh, yes, they had begin to realize the wonderful power and ability that Jesus had to meet their needs. And they followed him when they saw his miracles, which he did on the diseased. And you know, those that, oh yes, had devils, and all those that had infirmities of all kinds. So here it was, Jesus had gone up to a mountain with his disciples and sat down, and yes, they came unto him. A great company of people came unto him, and you know, he ministered unto them. He healed their sick, and he taught them, and you know, it went on for a while, and you know, it was getting late, and you know, they had no food, and you know, it was time, you know, that they would need some sustenance. Of course, he was testing Philip, and you know, he was asking, you know, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And you know, Philip had said, you know, that 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. You know, it was a great crowd. There were 500 men plus women and children. And, you know, I think possibly that 200 pennyworth, a pennyworth would be a day's wages, but maybe that's what they had in their treasury. And so, you know, I think maybe Philip was revealing that, you know, they didn't possibly have funds sufficient to meet the needs of these people. But the Lord knew what he was going to do. Oh, yes, he was told. That there was a lad among that crowd that had a little lunch that had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And of course, you know, as they all thought in their hearts, but what are they among so many? But our God isn't limited. Praise the Lord. We know the story. He had the men sit down on the grass. And oh yes, he took those loaves and he blessed them. And praise the Lord. I don't know how it all was, but oh, I would have a feeling that he had his 12 distribute them to those that were present there that day. And praise the Lord. He had multiplied those 5 barley loaves and those 2 small fishes. Praise the Lord. Our God could do that today. Praise the Lord. Did you ever, you know, have company and realize that you just, you know, had, you know, a can of soup and, you know, maybe a few slices of bread or something to feed your company and worry that it wasn't going to be enough? Well, God knows how to multiply it, doesn't he? Praise the Lord, and that's what he did. He took those loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Oh, they had plenty to eat. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Oh, praise the Lord. It was a miracle. Oh, yes, to take those 5 barley loaves and those 2 small fishes and multiply them so that they fed the multitude, plus there's 12 baskets full of fragments when they're done and they're all filled. Praise the Lord. Well, this miracle had quite an impact on the people. It tells us in verse 14 here in chapter 6 of John, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They were starting to get it. That had been declared in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, that God was going to raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren. And praise the Lord, he was going to put his words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And you know, that was prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ there from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, in verse 18. So the people were starting to get it, it seems, here in verse 14. But, you know, they have these other goals here. It says in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Oh, yes, because they, you know, that was their goal. They saw Jesus. If he was indeed that prophet that should come, if he was indeed that one, then oh my, they were going to take advantage of it. They wanted him to be king. Oh yes, to deliver them from the Roman bondage. All that sort of thing. And here Jesus perceived that they would take him even by force to make him a king. So he left, he departed, he went into a mountain alone himself, and he tells us that he sent his disciples down unto the sea. And you know, they entered into a ship, it tells us, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was dark now, it tells us, verse 17, Jesus was not come to them. Okay, so here they are out in the sea. Jesus has not, you know, he's up there in the mountain or wherever, and they are out on the sea, and it's dark, and Jesus had not come to them, and a storm came upon them. It tells us in verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And oh, this is, you know, just a few descriptive words here to tell us that it was, you know, quite a drastic storm here. And so they're trying to row, it seems. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. So here, there's a storm, and you know, the wind is blowing, and the waves are great, and oh my, all of this, and all at once, they see Jesus. They're not even sure who this is walking on the sea. It says they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And if we were to go to Matthew, the 14th chapter, we would find that Peter, around this time, you know, he said, Lord, if it is thee, then let me come up unto thee. Let me walk unto thee. And, you know, the Lord said, come. And, you know, Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk toward Jesus. And praise the Lord, he walked till he looked down and he saw the boisterous waves, and he began to realize, oh my, I'm going to sink, he thought. But praise the Lord Jesus reached out and caught him, and oh, why art thou afraid, you know, and all this and that, you know, why didst thou doubt, and all those things that Jesus had a right to ask him. But praise the Lord, after Jesus got into that ship, it tells us in verse 21 here, then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So we're seeing miracle after miracle, you know, all at once, you know, the ship is at land. And they had been rowing and toiling long to try to get to their destination. But all the people, these people that had noticed what Jesus can do, and you know, I have this perception of him, they are wondering where in the world, you know, they were watching, the ships came, and you know, what in the world happened to Jesus? They noticed that, you know, the disciples got on a boat and he did not, and you know, where in the world is he? So they're, I guess you could say, snooping around trying to find the Lord Jesus. And, you know, it tells us, you know, that verse 23 says, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. You know, how can this be? You know, we left him there and he didn't get on the boat, so how could he be someplace else? But he was. He was at Capernaum. But this is it. They are seeking for Jesus, it tells us. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Oh, they want to find him. Oh, that is a goal of theirs. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus knew their hearts. Some people follow the Lord because they want to follow Jesus. They want to take up their cross and follow the Lord regardless of consequences and troubles and difficulties. But some people are after the miracles, and it seems that these people had goals that were not heart-changing. It says in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And here he tells them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And oh yes, he goes on to tell them, you know, he begins to tell them that he is the bread of life. He talks about the manna that their fathers had eaten in the wilderness and how that sustained them, their physical being. But Jesus began to tell them that he was the bread of God. Oh, the one that came down from heaven, that would give his life unto the world. Oh, yes, he began to tell them these things. Oh, yes, he says in verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of heaven is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. But then he begins to explain to them, oh, it's not what they're thinking. You know, they were just fed miraculously. Oh, those 5 barley loaves and those 2 small fishes. And that's all they could conceive in their minds, that worldly kind of manna that would provide for their physical being. But Jesus is talking about something deeper than that. Oh, he said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, praise the Lord, that door that is opened unto us. Oh, yes, if we will just come unto him. Oh, here is the word that he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, praise the Lord, but these people can't get it. Oh, they could just see things with natural eyes. They couldn't see the spiritual truths that Jesus was trying so desperately to impart unto them. And you know, I'm skipping a little bit because it's long and I don't think I have a real long length of time. But it tells us in verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Oh, they're murmuring, they're not seeing, and they're not getting it. And of course, oh, Jesus is trying to teach them spiritual precepts. Oh, yes, they were seeking to find Jesus, but they didn't have pure motives. It wasn't, you know, straightly within their being to desire that everlasting bread that Jesus was offering, that those waters of life that he was offering them as he taught these people. And this whole discourse as it goes on, these people, you know, even though they had pretense of believing in him at the first, we know that before this discourse is over, that many of these people, many of his disciples, if we look at verse 66, went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't get it. They couldn't perceive of these spiritual truths that Jesus was trying to impart to them. But here it is, yes, as he taught them here, and oh my, tried to tell them the great need. Oh yes, to believe on him and to embrace him as the bread of life. Oh, they walked away. They just, you know, they couldn't go there. He tells us in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? All these people had sought the Lord Jesus, but they were looking for things that would enhance their life. They were looking for the things of the flesh. You know, that's the only perception that they had. They didn't see this great spiritual truth that Jesus was teaching here at this moment. But praise the Lord, Jesus turned to the 12 And he asked, he said, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, praise the Lord. It's only by revelation that we can perceive who Jesus is. Oh, that wonderful truth that he gives to those that will seek him with the heart. Oh, that will hunger and thirst after him and desire those spiritual treasures. Oh, yes, to seek the Lord with all the heart. Oh, praise the Lord. It comes by revelation to realize, oh, that Jesus Christ, oh, yes, he was born of Mary. But, oh, yes, he was born of the eternal Spirit of God. Oh, yes, his Father, which was in heaven. Oh, yes, he had come to this earth as the Son of God or as the Son of Man. Oh, yes, God Almighty, the Creator, had come to this world putting on flesh so he could dwell among us. Oh, yes, that he could show us the way to eternal life. Oh, yes, that he could show us how that we might take up our cross and follow him. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Thank God for those that can see and understand. And as Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Oh, there is no other way. There is no other one. There is no other religion. Oh, there is no one else to whom we can turn. For thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, Jesus Christ came to present the gospel to the world. Oh, yes, to bring the glad tidings. Oh, yes, to give us hope, to turn things around. Oh, yes, to bring forth the New Testament in his blood. Oh, yes, so that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. Oh, yes, that those wells of living water might spring up within our very being, that we might be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because, oh, yes, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, that one that should come into the world. And praise the Lord if we have eyes to see. Oh, and we know who Jesus is, and we know that he is that Christ, that anointed one. He is the Messiah, the one that was foretold. Praise the Lord, God robed in flesh, coming to this world to save us from our sins. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, I know there are others that did receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, that wanted to see him above more than anybody else. I think of that story there in the 19th chapter of Luke, when Jesus was entering in through Jericho, or entering into Jericho and passing through it. And, you know, noise obviously was spread abroad that Jesus was passing that way. And we see in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, and behold, verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, it tells us, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And praise the Lord, you know, here we see, you know, we don't know who the Lord might call. Here we're seeing that the Lord is going to call this man. He is the chief among the publicans. He's the chief tax collector, and he's rich. But yet the Lord is going to call him. And there was something in his heart. It tells us again in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus. Oh, he wanted to see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. who he was. He'd heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see him. But, you know, there was a problem. He says he could not for the press. Oh, there were a lot of people. Oh, they all thought they wanted to see Jesus. And there was a big crowd. There was a multitude of people. But there was an obstacle. He had a problem. It says he could not for the press because he was little of stature. But you know what? There's going to be obstacles in the way. There's going to be mountains that we're going to need to climb. You know, there's going to be roadblocks at times. You know, there's going to be things that the devil puts in our path to hinder us. But you know, it all comes down to, do we really want to see Jesus? Do we really want to live for Jesus? Do we really want to take up our cross and follow him? You know, what's really in our heart? Oh, yes, you know, there's problems. There are circumstances that come up. There are interferences. All kinds of things could go wrong. Oh, my, you know, it rained today. Well, it rained really hard during the night and, you know, all day yesterday, it seemed. But, you know, how bad do we really want to see Jesus? And here this little Zacchaeus, chief among the publicans and very rich, he had a problem. He was too short to see above everybody else. But praise the Lord, he really wanted to see Jesus. You know, it tells us in verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Oh, praise the Lord. He was going to do what he could do. And it came to him, hey, there's something I could do. I can climb up into this sycamore tree and then I'll be able to look down. I'll be taller than the people. I'll be able to see Jesus. And praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus knew the intenseness of the desire of this man's heart. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And praise the Lord. Oh, this was a welcoming thought to this man. Oh, it tells us in verse 6, and he made haste. Oh, he was in a hurry. He scrambled down that tree and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, they were complaining, these Pharisaical people, these scribes, and these Jewish people. They were really muttering and murmuring and just, you know, just having a fit, I guess you could say. But God knew the intensity of the heart here. And, oh, yes, as they talked, and we don't have, you know, a big description of, you know, words that were exchanged. But for sure, the Lord Jesus reached down into Zacchaeus' heart. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, Zacchaeus began to see his great need to turn his life over to the living God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he was a sinner, and he had offended God in many ways. Oh, he had taken things that were not dutifully his. But oh, yes, when Jesus came to his house, oh, he saw his great need to turn his life over. He saw his need to repent of his past. Oh, and to make amends for the things that he had done that were so wrong. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what repentance is all about. That's what it means to give your life over to the Lord. Oh, yes, it's seeing the things that you maybe were blinded to in the past. Oh, yes, those great sins that were part of your makeup. Things that you had done. But praise the Lord, what a wonderful moment it is when all at once you can see the need to repent, to give it over to the Lord, to turn from those disobedient, willful, sinful ways. And that's what Zacchaeus did. Oh, he had riches. But now he said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, praise the Lord, he was going to make up. He was going to recompense those that he had taken wrongfully from, unjustly from. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why our Lord and Savior came to this world. He knew that there were a people, oh, yes, that would turn from their sinful ways. Oh, yes, they would see their need to turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take up their cross and follow the Lord. Oh, yes, they would have great desire to follow Jesus, regardless of the cost. Oh yes, there were roadblocks, there were obstacles, there were things to overcome, but praise the Lord, you know, Zacchaeus could have just said, well, okay, I'm just too short, I'll just forget it. But no, there was something within him. He was determined to see the Lord, and he did what he had to do to make it happen. Yes, even to climb up into that sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Lord sees those things that we do as we draw nigh to God. We're told to draw nigh to God with an understanding that he will draw nigh unto us. And praise the Lord, when we make our amends toward the Lord, if we step, oh yes, toward the Lord, he sees those steps. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord, he's going to make a way. Oh, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. We can turn our lives over to the Lord and know that, oh, Lord, he knows how to take our lives and turn them around and make us something worthy for his kingdom. Oh, yes, so many of them wanted to see Jesus and sought after him, ran after him. Oh, they wanted to find him, but oh, yes, they weren't really willing to take up that cross and follow him. Oh, no, they murmured, they complained. Oh, he's just a man. He's the son of Joseph. You know, how could he be the bread of life? But praise the Lord for those individuals, oh yes, who seek with all their hearts to see Jesus, to find Jesus, to find the living water. Oh yes, to be a participant in his great and wonderful salvation. Oh, praise the Lord and thank God that he called us. Oh yes, thank God that he gave us opportunity to come unto him, that we might live, that we might have everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord that we might have that manna that is from above. Oh, praise the Lord that we might seek after those things which are of God, which are from heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, one of these days, oh, yes, if we have sought the Lord, if we turned our lives over to him, if, oh, yes, we have obeyed the gospel message, we will be in that place that he has prepared for them that love him. Praise the Lord. We will be with the Lord for all eternity. As it tells us in Revelation 22, verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, praise the Lord in that city where the Lamb is alive. Praise the Lord, that place where there's going to be no night, no need of a candle, no light, no need for the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Is that your heart's cry? Sir, we would see Jesus. Praise the Lord. If we have to cry, if we have to leap into a sycamore tree, climb up into a sycamore tree, we're going to do it. Praise the Lord. We're going to do whatever we need to do to make it through this life and see the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, work in us. Give us that kind of determination, Lord. Give us that ability to walk with you, to take up our cross and follow you daily. Oh, thank you, God. Put it within us. Help us, Lord. Talk to those that yet need to respond to the gospel. Talk to their hearts. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Work, will it? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 157 and sing Open Our Eyes, Lord, number 157 in the chorus book. Our eyes, Lord. and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Praise the Lord.